I have mentioned several times leading up to confirmation next weekend that Pentecost comes from the Greek word pente, essentially for 50, Pentecosta, 50. And it is linked to the ancient Jewish festival of what became known as the Festival of Weeks. It was a harvest festival. So in Palestine, there were two harvests. The first harvest is the harvest of barley. And then the second harvest is the harvest of wheat. Now, the time difference between the barley, the first harvest of the barley and the first harvest of the wheat is 50 days, 7 weeks. And so the festival eventually became known as the Festival of Weeks. So at Pentecost, that was the first offerings that were brought forward into the temple. And then the priests would take the two first loaves made from the first harvest of the bread and use those as the offering. What happens when one culture absorbs another, as Christianity eventually did? It takes portions, a lot of the ritual and a lot of the language from one culture, and it gets absorbed into the new culture. And so it's not surprising, therefore, that Christianity took over the festival of Pentecost. But the difference is it wasn't about the first harvest anymore. It was about the first word, if you like. Some talk about the birth of the church or the birthday of the church. But as the Acts of the Apostles, as St. Luke tells us, and then in John's Gospel, we get a fairly clear account of what happened at that particular time. And that really was what we talk about, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the gift, the promise fulfilled by Jesus. So we link Pentecost in the Christian sense with the outpouring of God's love on the individuals, and then what happens when that outpouring is received. We think, therefore, of the Holy Spirit as the power of God. I think it's a very healthy way of understanding it. In Scripture, when we talk about the Spirit of God, it is quite often expressed in terms of wind and of flame. It also has connotations to water. So we talk about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. So these things are not things that are identified in the human form. They are things that are identified with the power of a great source. That source, of course, is God. When we think and work with our understanding of what Pentecost is, we think of the outpouring of God into the apostles and then their sending forth. You bring forward all the elements that we hear in the Scripture and you get some sense of the busyness, if you like, or the chaos that was happening in the upper room at that time. And then you get a sense of that chaos dissipating into calmness. You get a sense that there was confusion to start with. And then you get a sense of, with the church beginning, you get a sense of communion. So from confusion to communion. If we can get that into our mind and our heart, we start to understand what Pentecost really is. We don't talk about the coming of the Pentecost. There are some Christian denominations that do. Pentecost has come. We are in the time of Pentecost. We are in the time of the outpouring and the pouring forth of the power of God. That is what the church is, and that is the mission of the church. And that's exercised, or it's exercised certainly through the priestly ministry, but it begins for all of us with baptism. And at baptism, we talk about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the baptized. And the symbol of the newly baptized traditionally at Easter was them wearing a white garment. And so in England, Pentecost Sunday, or Pentecost, is known as Whitsun, White Sunday, when the adults wore, the newly baptised wore the white garments to demonstrate that they were the newly baptised in the church. So if you're wondering where the word Whitsunday comes from, that's where it comes from. It's not common in the Catholic tradition, certainly in the Western world, but historically that's where it comes from. If you sail up through northeastern Queensland, you'll go through the Whitsunday Islands and be part of the Whitsunday Islands, just down from the Goldsboro group, is Pentecost Island. Great place to sail, terrible place to find an anchor. So those islands were discovered at that time, just historically, a little aside. But when we look at Pentecost and we get the scriptural events, it's helpful also to go in and just trace what happens. So in John's Gospel, we're told firstly that Jesus came to them. They were in the upper room and then he came amongst them. So in our life, we gathered, this is our upper room, he has come amongst us, we the baptised. And our baptism is complete, if you like, with confirmation, the sacrament of confirmation, which I will celebrate in the church next Friday night, and Archbishop Christopher will celebrate in the church on Saturday night. So there won't be any problem then about filling the front seats, I can tell you. So we've got about 50 young people being confirmed next weekend. And that is, in a sense, the completion of their baptism. You have had that happen to you, and now we examine in our life, what are we doing with it? You've often heard me say that. Is it still being poured out, or has it stopped? Has that water stopped, the Spirit stopped in our life? Now, Jesus comes in amongst them, and the first words he says to them is, "Peace be with you." So look at our life now, and we say, most of us tend to say things like, "Oh, I'm so busy. There's so much busyness around us all the time." And if you don't answer by saying that you're busy, people have a look at you and they look, "What, are you lazy or something? Apparently you have to be busy all the time." Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And then he actually says that again, "Peace be with you." So the first gift of Jesus before he sends the Holy Spirit is peace. The next thing he says is, "Those whose sins you forgive." So it is about forgiveness as well. So we can link forgiveness with peace. And I would put to you that if you examine your life at the moment or any time when you're having a reflection and you find that your life is full of chaos, it has not got that peace in it, then look at the quantity and the quality of forgiveness that you exercise in your life. That forgiveness may well start with forgiving oneself and then forgiving others. But once we exercise the forgiveness in accordance with the words of Scripture here this evening, we will find that peace returns to our life. There will be times when chaos tries to take over, but the peace of the Holy Spirit will always win. Always win. That's probably why Jesus had to say it twice. And he gives us the power to bring that peace into our lives and to the lives of others. And he also gives us the freedom to destroy that peace. And that's what he means by "those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Now, certainly that's got to do with the sacrament of reconciliation and penance. But in your life and in mine, when I forgive, peace comes in. When I choose not to forgive, when I choose to retain anger or hatred even, then you can bet that there is no peace in your life, or no complete peace. So I'll give that to you this Pentecost as we reflect on the movement of the Spirit in our life and in our church. The ability to forgive. will determine the ability to live a peaceful life or not.